Deuteronomy chapter 32. If you'll stand with me in reverence to reading God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Let's pray, and then we're going to continue reading some of this chapter this evening. Father, thank you for this time that you give us just to come to your house. God, I thank you for just the way the songs have ministered to my heart so far tonight. And God, just seeing your folks here being faithful. God, our heart goes out to our church family that's hurting tonight. And God, our pastor that just has some questions. And Lord, we don't have all the answers. We don't have the ability many times to say the right words. But Father, I pray that you would just help us to be what we can for others. And Lord, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being steadfast in our lives, God. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us as we kind of do just a Bible study tonight and look through, chase a thought through the Bible. And we'll give you praise and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Deuteronomy chapter 32, we quit reading at verse number 4. And I want you to go down to verse number 15. The Bible says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, with abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee." Look down at verse number 30. The Bible says, "How should one chase 1,000, and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges." And tonight I want to talk about, if you hadn't kind of picked it out already, we're going to talk about the rock tonight. God takes on many personifications in the Bible. He is the Word. He's the living water. He's the bread of life. He is I Am. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's Emmanuel. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the Lamb of God. We can go on and on and on. There's many names and personifications that God takes in the Bible. When I was doing my devotions, but one of the things here in Deuteronomy chapter 32 that is mentioned several times as a personification of God is the rock. And so we're going to kind of chase this thought through the Bible, and I'm just give you a few thoughts to take with you tonight about God being our rock. God being our rock. Most of the time in the Bible, the term rock does not refer to what most Indiana people think of as rocks. Most of us in Indiana don't really have a good, unless you've traveled outside of this area, you don't have a really good understanding of what the Bible term here for rock is. The Bible term here is talking more about a boulder, or literally an immovable mountain of rock. We don't have that here. We have to dig rather deep to get that in Indiana. Kids pick up a handful of rocks. That's what we typically say. But the Bible, if you look at the Bible, the definition of this word, it refers to more of almost like a cliff or a large, humongous boulder. And I thought, well, maybe I could do a sermon illustration, but the only rocks that I could get were not really that. Couldn't carry them anyway. That's kind of the whole purpose of the rock. And so I want to talk some tonight about this, and just want to be encouragement to you as we kind of chase this thought through the Bible this evening. I've been out to Arizona, I think I've been there 3 times now. And every time we've gone out to Arizona, one of the things that we've done, and many of you that have gone with us, most of you actually that have gone with us, we've climbed to Window Rock. Now, Brother Chad, how old is Window Rock? I have no idea. Billions and billions of years, I'm sure. All right, the play that they're doing. I don't know how old Window Rock is. But you know, the first time I went to Window Rock, it was pretty cool. It's neat to climb up there, although we took the long way around somehow. But we have since discovered a shorter way, and it's pretty easy to get to it. But honestly, almost the whole trip up to the top of Window Rock, you're walking on rock. It's a big boulder, essentially. And you get up there, and you know, the first time I was there, it was neat. The second time I went back, you know what had changed? Nothing. The rock was still the rock. It was still Window Rock. It was still there. You know, there may have been some dust that had blown around. Some sand had shifted, but that wasn't the rock. The rock was the same as it was the last time I was there. You know, the third time I went back, you know what had changed from the first and the second time? Nothing. It was still the rock. It was still there. It was still what defined that city. It's Window Rock. That's the name of the city, Window Rock, Arizona. And so that was kind of my thought as I was thinking. That's kind of my relationship to a rock, if you would, is that trip that we've taken to Arizona on several occasions. Some of you have been to Mount Rushmore. Some of you have been out west and have been in the mountains. And you know, honestly, the mountains are nothing more than a large rock with small rocks on top of them, okay? And you know, we can't move the mountain. You can't change it, all right? And so the first thing I thought of as far as rock is rock. We're going to talk about the rock of stability, the rock of stability. Deuteronomy chapter number 32, look at verse number 4. The first thing here, the rock of stability. The Bible says he is the rock. And you notice how it's capitalized? Because there's other rocks mentioned in this chapter that are not capitalized. But the Bible says he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth. Now let me ask you something. Does truth change? Truth cannot change. Truth is truth. Truth never changes. Oddly enough, if you really think about it, it's kind of a neat concept that truth is truth no matter what. Things that are false can change and they can fluctuate, but truth never changes. How we see it might change, but it doesn't change. All right? Truth never changes. Stability. A God of truth and without iniquity. From all of time past and all of time future, that one truth about God will never change. He is without iniquity. There's a stability there. Just and right is he. That's never changed about God either. He's always just and he's always right. Doesn't matter what my opinion is, all right? It doesn't matter how big I think the rock is. Just because I think it's small doesn't mean that it's small. Think about this. Yeah. It just means I'm farther away from the rock. Right. It's a matter of perception. Yeah. I can hold out my fingers like this, depending on how close I am to the Window Rock in Arizona, and it can fit between my two fingers. That's just my perception. But standing on it makes it a whole different story. Yeah. All right? Just a matter of perception. A rock of stability. In a world that's constantly changing, it's good to have a rock that we can come back to that will never change and hasn't changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same as the last time that I was there. Psalms chapter 40, and we're going to use our Bibles quite a bit tonight. I want to show you several places. And maybe, if nothing else, as you read your Bible, you'll kind of pick out these rock spots. This one's fairly well known. Psalms chapter 40, verse number 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He brought me up also out of a miry pit, out of the miry clay. The world wants to give us the clay. Hey, I've been building a pole barn, and it's a 40 by 80 And terrible, honestly, just being straight up with you, terrible time of year to build anything. It just is. And it's not that, I mean, God's given us great weather. I can't complain at all about the weather. But we live in we don't have rocks. We've got a lot of clay. And we're digging down and you're walking through this. And listen, folks, this is farm country. You've worked in mud. But working in mud and working in clay is a little bit different. You start getting that yellow, we've had to dig in a water line and put in a sewer line, and that yellow sticky clay on our boots. And you know, before long, you know, I'm walking in it all day. And before long, you know what I have to do every once in a while? I have to go over here and start shaking my boot off. You know why? Because it's sticking to me, it's a weight. You know what the Bible says? Let's cast aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Walking through this world, folks, it just is that miry clay. It just sticks to you. And if you're not careful, it just weighs you down and it's just miry. It mires you down. You ever got we was trying to get some rock under a sewer line, get the right elevation. Anyway, that's a long story. But got down in a trench and my feet, you know how your feet get stuck? And you're trying to pull them up and your boot wants to stay in the mud and you're trying to pull your foot out and your foot comes out of your boot and you're looking down and your boot's still in the mud. It's miry. You can get stuck in it real easy. And that miry clay, we have put in, my last count, 270 tons of rock in this building. You know why? Because every time I drove my skid steer across it, it was like jello. And what we had to do, we had to put in rock and rock and rock. Why? Because the rock makes it stable. It stabilizes it. All right? And that's what, you know what? God is a rock. And not just, you know, I wouldn't have any problem at all if I was driving across a concrete or a granite slab. I'm not going to sink. Why? Because there's a stability there. It's rock. But clay's not that way. Psalms chapter 92. A lot of these are in Psalms. Psalms chapter 92. Look at verse number 15. To show that the Lord is upright, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. God doesn't change. God is righteous all the time. There is that stability, all right? And in this world, that's always changing, okay? Everything you hear is changing every day. But you know what? We can go back and there's truth. And you can find that truth in the Word of God, all right? And that's not nothing new. It's nothing that you haven't heard before. I'm just reminding you, listen, this world's full of junk. This world's full of the clay. And if we're not careful, you're going to get stuck in it and you're going to get hung up in it. When you just need to get your feet on the solid rock, like Psalm chapter 40, verse number 2. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew 7, this is a parable. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? Because it was a well-built house? No. Because it was founded on a rock. Even these pole barns, when we set the poles in the ground, you know what goes underneath of them? A rock. They call them cookies, actually. But it's a concrete block. And it goes all the way to the bottom of the hole, and that post sits on it. Why? Because I don't want that post to sink in the ground. You ever go past somebody's deck and it's like level, 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 whoop, level, level, level. You know why? Because there's no rock underneath of it. It sunk. That's why. And you know what, God? You know what? Listen, I can't guarantee everything, but I can guarantee if you build your life on Jesus Christ, it won't go anywhere. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Verse number 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. And then it's interesting. Look at verse 44. I like this. Whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Think about this. All right. I drop something on Window Rock. You know what's going on? Let's say better yet. I drop something from the top of Window Rock. Okay. Because you can climb all the way to the top of it. I drop something from the top of Window Rock. You know what's going to happen to it? It's going to break. If I could pick Window Rock up and drop it on something, you know what's going to happen to it? It's going to grind it to powder. All right? You know what? That's coming down the road for our world. But this world thinks that they can throw stuff at God. You know, all it does is it breaks. But God's judgment is going to come. That was kind of extra. But thought I'd throw that in there. So it's a rock of stability. Listen, folks, we got to found our life on God. Young people, you got to found your life on God. If you don't, you're going to have a shaky future, to say the least. So rock of stability, just a small thought for you. Secondly, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. So we got a rock of stability. That one makes a lot of sense. Deuteronomy chapter 32 we're going to talk about this, the rock of salvation. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Look at verse number 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Refers to the rock of salvation. He is the one, listen to this, he is the one that my salvation is attached to. You know, the only way that my salvation can move is if the rock moves. All right? It's kind of like building your house. We read about in Matthew chapter 7. You build your house. What do? You anchor to that foundation. You know why the house doesn't move? It's because the foundation's not moving. Okay? That's the reason the house isn't moving. So we anchor to that foundation. If I'm anchored to the rock, I don't go anywhere unless the rock goes someplace. Okay? There's a security of my salvation because he is the rock of my salvation. For my salvation to change, he must change. Go to Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18. I should have just written some of these down and read them to you, but Psalms chapter 18, look at verse number 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. David had a unique perception on fortresses and rocky fortresses. How many times did David have to run to a rock someplace to get away? He understood what going to a rock for security was. He understood that that was a place of refuge for him. Look down at verse number 31. If I've got I love 30, 31, and 32. I love these three verses, but we're just going to read 31. The Bible says, for who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Look at now verse number 46, same chapter. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my what? Salvation be exalted. God is the rock of my salvation. He's the part that I can anchor to, and I don't have to worry about anything else. It's that rock. He's that place that we can go for a refuge. No matter what the storms of life may be, God is the rock that I can go to whenever I need shelter. Think about that. You know, you're anchored to a rock. It doesn't matter. The wind isn't going, to wash you away. The wind isn't going to blow you away. The rain's not going to wash you away. Okay? You're anchored to the rock. And it's a place of refuge. Rain can't wash away a rock. Wind can't blow a rock away. Lightning can't burn a rock. It is there. It is permanent. The rock of salvation. Psalms chapter 27. Look at verse number 5. Psalms chapter 27, verse number 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Look at chapter number 61, verse number 2. Bible says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Listen, folks, this is the epitome of where people get in life. From the end of the earth, there's no place else to go. That's what he's saying. From the end of the earth, I don't know where to go next. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, I can't take any more. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Why? Because the rock doesn't change. The rock is stable. The rock is a refuge for us. He's that for us. Psalm 62, verse 2. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Why not? Because you ain't moving the rock. That's why you ain't going to be greatly moved, because you're not moving the rock. Look at verse number 6, the same chapter. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Look at verse 7. In God is my salvation, my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Look, chapter 95. Look at verse number 1. Psalms chapter 95. Verse number 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The rock of our salvation. You know what I'm thankful for? I don't care what the world... I kind of live a happy-go-lucky life. And one reason is, I'm not worried. Because if I'm anchored to the rock... Now, and I'm going to talk about this later. Am I always close to the rock? No, I'm not. I'm not always close to the rock. But you know what? The rock doesn't ever change. The rock, I kind of get ahead of myself, but the rock is in the same place that I left the rock. The rock didn't move. I just got to go back to it. Anyway, we'll get to that. Rock of salvation. Thirdly, the rock of grace. And this is kind of neat, and I hope I'm not... I don't know, I heard somebody say the other day, when they were young preaching, they were preaching a lot of heresy. So I don't think this is heresy, but I think it's a good application. Rock of grace. Go to Exodus chapter number 17, the rock of grace. And I'll explain why I kind of go in this route with this. I saw Exodus chapter number 17. We've got here the story of... All right, so leading up to this moment is an interesting time with Israel, and they are between their second and third month of their journey after leaving Egypt. Okay? So they've already been set free, right? Okay? So they've already been liberated from Egypt, but they're between their second and third month of their journey. Okay? And they've run out of water. They've run out of water here. And they're murmuring against Moses. Verse 4, Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. Little stones. Think about this. The little stones. All right? And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon where? The rock. So where's God standing? Where's Jesus standing? On the rock. Okay, he's standing on it. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. They've ran out of water. And this is the thought I had, and I think it'd be used in several ways. But the rock of grace, the rock of grace. They had already been liberated from Egypt, okay? But there was something that they needed. There was something they desired. There was something their animals needed. They needed water. They needed water. And what did God tell Moses to do? He said, Moses, go to that rock and take your staff, and I want you to smite the rock, okay? And he did. And the Bible says, and water came forth. I guess the water out of the rock may speak of several things. obviously, it's in a very practical sense. You know what it was? I'm not trying to be super spiritual. It was water out of a rock. It satisfied a very basic need that they had. Okay? They had just come from the 12 wells of Elim. All right? Of the oasis, if you would. All right? But they had just come from the 12 wells of Elim. And I don't know, but, you know, I don't know however many people, well over half a million, between half a million and a million people, takes a lot of water. You know, we talked about wells last time I preached. You can't just drill a well in the middle of the desert and supply a million people, okay? So water was a big deal. But at some point, they were starting to run out of the water that they were carrying with them. And I want you to think about that and the application of what we're talking about. But this water of grace, it wasn't just water, it was abundant water. In the times in life when we are in desperate need, those times when the future is rather bleak, there is water. If you think about it, when somebody's drilling a well, the best water is hit in the rock. All right, you can't, you know, you're not going to get really good water in your topsoil levels. Okay, you've got to go all the way down to bedrock to get into your good water. Why? Because that rock channels the water. There's cracks in the rock that allow that water not to spread out like it does in dirt. You know, our water around here, if it gets wet on top, what does it do? It just spreads out. It super saturates the ground. In rock, where does it go? The path of least resistance. But it's got to go through a crack. It's got to go through a crevice in that rock. And so that's where that water goes. Is through those cracks in the rock. This water, however, wasn't just a dripping water. I think this water was a gushing water. All right? I want to take your Bibles. Now let's go to Numbers. I want to compare the two here. Numbers chapter number 20. Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20, verse number 8 or 7. Basically, the same thing's happening here. They're getting irritated with Moses because they ran out of water again. Okay? And verse number 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink." Now, there's a difference here. The first time, God told Moses, take your rod, and you're going to smite the rock. All right? And you know what? Honestly, folks, the first time that God's grace was extended to me was at the death on the cross of Jesus Christ. Was when God's grace was extended to me for the first time. Okay? And that's true. But you know what? Now, Christ doesn't have to die every time I need grace. You know what all I have to do? The Bible says that we may come boldly unto the throne of grace. All right? You know what I have to do? Exactly what Moses did. Father, I need some extra grace right now. I can come boldly to, just like Moses had to go and he had to speak to the rock. Listen, it wouldn't hurt any of us to get back to, hey, let's go back to start speaking to the rock. He already was smitten for us once. He's given us grace already. It's a saving grace. But you know what? There's that living grace too. Go back and talk to God some. The sad thing is, how many times did the people go to get water? How many times were they upset when they were thirsty? When they were dying and they needed it? Isn't it sad that many times the only time we ever look for God's grace is at the very bottom? Is at the very bottom. God's grace is sufficient. You may not need it today, but you will need it. Let me ask you this question. How fresh is your water? How fresh is your water? How long has it been since you went to the rock to get water? That could be applied in a lot of different ways. When's the last time you went to God and said, God, I need something from you? Not your Father, thank you for this food. Thank you for blessing us. Just help all of our missionaries, help those that are in trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. All right? That's a very shallow, and I'm guilty of it. I am. I'm guilty of it. But when's the last time we went to God and said, God, I need you? And we honestly go to God when we need him because we usually need him. It's those low moments of life. The rock of grace. The last water they had was at Elim. Many times I do not go to God because I have today under control. Hey, I got today. We got this. Everything went good today. I'm fine. I got money in the bank. Family's all healthy. You know, everything's good. Cars are running good. You know, bills are paid. We've got this. Those are the times. What did the Bible say? And we're going to get to that. When Jeshurun waxed fat. And there's like, in that one verse, it's kind of a funny verse to read, actually. There's like six words that describe the fatness of Jeshurun in that one verse. But what did it say at the end? They forgot. They forgot God. And so many times, I'm guilty of that. When everything's going good, it's easy just to be like, you know, you do your quota prayer, you do your quota Bible reading, and you kind of just slough off on the rest of it. Why? Because you don't need it. But how fresh is your water? How fresh is your water? God's grace is exhibited to us in that rock, the rock of grace. And then the last thing I want to give you tonight is it's a rock of returning. A rock of returning. Deuteronomy, go back there. This will be the last time in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. And there's like six more references for the water out of the rock thing, but we just didn't go to all of them. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Get there. Look at verse number 15. Bible says, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. So there's like five of them that describe Jeshurun. And you know what? Fatness in the Bible is honestly associated with good health and abundance, okay? But then look what it says here. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Look at verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. One of the beautiful things about a rock is that it is a place that I can come back to and it's still the same. Every time I go back, it's still the same. I've taught the young people, at least in the youth group, I've mentioned it several times. I believe there needs to be times in everyone's life that are stake-driving moments. Okay, and I'm going to explain what I've told them, and I think it'll make sense to you. And I've even given them to them before. I've given them pieces of wood, all right? There's nothing on them, just a piece of wood. And I've told them, you need to write, there's going to be decisions in your life that you need to write on this piece of wood, and you need to take it someplace, and you need to drive it all the way in the ground. And you leave it there. Now, so Chad, what's the significance of that? Significance of that is if they do that, and it's serious enough to them that they would write it on a piece of wood and go drive it in the ground, they will never forget that decision. Amen. You can forget a lot of things that you do up here, at an altar, at a youth conference, or a youth meeting, whatever. But you physically take something. God told the children of Israel to do it dozens and dozens of times. It wasn't a stake. It was a pile of rocks. But he said, I want you to build a memorial here. I want you to build an altar here. What was that for? For the moment? Yeah, it was for the moment. But it was more for the future. But you know, the rock, I think the rock is one of those things that we all need some rock moments in our life. one of the first trips we took to Arizona, we had a prayer meeting up on top of Window Rock. And I told the boys, I said, I want one of you to grab a rock. And I said, I want you to take it with you. And I said, if you ever decide to leave the will of God, I want you to throw that rock away. Now, how many of them did it? Because I promise you, not all of them are still in the will of God today. But I also promise you that if they ever find that rock stuck away in a drawer someplace, and they remember where that rock came from, they also will remember that rock place. And I think all of us in our life need those rock places. They need those places that I can still go back to and I can still see faces that were sold out to God. I still see them. But at some point, they may have not literally taken a rock and chucked it away, but they threw away some rock places. But here's the cool thing. Get this. The rock, they couldn't throw that rock away. Window Rock, last time I was there, some of those boys weren't there, but Window Rock was still there. And you know the cool thing is, and this is true for all of us, you can always go back to the rock. You can always go back. And that is so cool that, okay, I've messed up a lot of things. And I have. Brother Chad's messed up a ton of things in life. But you know the fact I can always go back to a place, and I can always go back to my rock of my salvation, and I can always go back to a rock that gives me stability. You know what I love to see is, Skylar. Skylar's been here the last 2 weeks. He rode a bus with us in Vicksburg. Okay, I don't know what God has, and I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have said his name, but I don't know what God has for Skylar. But you know, for a lot of people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is kind of that rock place. Let me ask you, can a young person come back here and still see your face 10 years from now? I think we need that stability for our young people to be able to say, all right, I've messed up, but I can still go back there. And I know it's not changed. I know it's still the same. I know it's everything. I know there's still people there that love me. And I can still go back there. And you know what? God is at. And you know what? Sometimes I don't need God. There's days in my life, I'm not saying I don't want that to sound disrespectful, but everything's good. But then when I need God, he's still there. I just still got to go back to him. The rock don't follow me around.
No, that's right.
He never leaves. I know the Holy Spirit never leaves me. I understand that. But the place of blessing, the place where the water comes out, is at the rock. Is at the rock. I can go back. Psalm chapter 78, this will probably be the last reference we go to. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Psalms chapter 78, look at verse number 25. Psalm 78, verse 25. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered flat fowls as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitation. So they did eat and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. But they were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still, and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their redeemer. You know what they did? They went back to the rock. They went back to that place of stability. They went back to that place of salvation. They went back to that place of gushing grace. All right? They remembered and they went back. They remembered and went back. If you have been to the rock, let me encourage you, go back to the rock. Revisit your salvation. That's good for all of us to do. Go back to that place where you got saved. Go back to those moments when you've made, young people, go back to those moments when you made decisions for God. Go back to them. You need to have some rock places in your life. Because those places aren't going to change. Revisit the unchangeableness of God, the stability of God. Get a fresh drink of the water of God's grace. You must go back to the place where you left the rock. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this Bible study about the rock, Lord. Thank you for being that stability in our life. Thank you for being that that rock of salvation. Thank you for being the rock of abundant grace that gives us new mercies, new grace every day. God, I pray that we would also just have that rock in our minds of if we ever need to go back, God, I pray that we wouldn't stray far. God, I pray that we would abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And Father, I pray we will live there. And Lord, I don't know what is in the life of the young people here and the kids out in Bible Club. But God, I pray that they're always in the back of their mind, there's a place that they know that they can just come back. And Lord, that you're there and you're stable and your salvation is still fresh and your grace is still there. And thank you for that in my life. Thank you for being that place I can always come back to, no matter how far I stray. But Lord, help us not to stray. Help us just to stay anchored. Help us to always enjoy that fresh water every day. Thank you for this lesson and how it's helped me in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.